This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. In the midst of a difficult week for Eklis Elementary teachers and staff, things took a turn for the better Friday morning when they showed up to find the school's front doors and lawn covered with positive messages and an outpouring of support from local families and parents. Eklis is the best, one sign read, Go Tigers! We love our teachers, declared another, and another, kindness begins with me. These 2 years have been hard for everyone. Thank you to our teachers who have done so much. The flood continued inside with balloons, flowers, coffee, donuts, and other goodies, all contributed by parents and families who wanted the staff to know they were appreciated. The week had begun with a confrontation over the statewide mask mandating schools, which continued outside Eklis's front doors throughout the week. It involved only a handful of local parents and families, but spread widely online and social media. Several local moms, including Ashley Fryman and April Pruss, attempted to send their children to class without masks every morning this week in an act of civil disobedience and peaceful protest, and stayed to hand out flyers when they were denied entry. On Thursday, about 20 to 30 adults and kids joined the demonstration, some holding signs protesting the mandate and calling for mask wearing to be optional in public schools. Third grade teacher Jackie Romine Fitch said it was a tough week for many staff members who understood the frustration and anger that some parents and students are experiencing, but feel just as powerless in their own situations. She said she received an email from one of the parents who coordinated Friday's show of support, in which the mom had expressed heartfelt appreciation for her efforts and those of her colleagues at the school. She organized the posters and flowers for today because she wanted to make sure we knew we were loved, Fitch said. I can't tell you how many smiles there were at school today. We went from feeling disheartened to feeling seen and appreciated. The whole vibe changed, and it was positive. A firefighter who was critically injured in an explosion while battling a large barn fire in St. Paul early Thursday morning later died of his injuries, authorities announced. The St. Paul Fire District firefighter was identified as 30-year-old Austin Smith, a resident of St. Paul. Today, I come before you with heavy heart as we've been dealt a significant loss to our family, our department, and the St. Paul community, St. Paul Chief Brian Lee said during a media briefing at the St. Paul Rodeo Thursday afternoon. The fire began just after 4 a.m. near Shampooey Creek Lane Northeast and McKay Road Northeast. Cambie Fire District Chief Jim Davis said crews arrived on the scene to find a barn fully involved. A second alarm was dispatched and units from Cambie, Aurora, Hubbard, Tualatin Valley, Dayton, and Woodburn responded to the scene. We in the community are absolutely heartbroken over this loss, Lee said. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Austin's family and friends as we all begin the grieving process. We want to thank our community and neighboring agencies for their help during this horrible time. Smith had been a volunteer member of St. Paul Fire since 2015. He leaves behind a wife, Ashley, an extended family in St. Paul, according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. This community is one of the tightest-knit communities that I've ever seen or come across, said Mark Daniel, public information officer for the fire district. The members of this fire department are members of this community, and they truly serve this community because they are serving their family. Austin is a part of that, and really a part of the history of St. Paul. The Smith family goes back generations to the founding of the St. Paul Rodeo. He and his family are entrenched in the very culture of this community. So like the chief said, our hearts are broken and he will be sorely missed. Smith's father, Dave Smith, is a member of the St. Paul Rodeo Board of Directors, and his great-grandfather and great-uncles were among the founders of the event. Oregon State Police and the Marion County Sheriff's Office are investigating the incident. Canby has a new hometown hero, Carol Palmer, a longtime community leader, volunteer, prolific grant writer, and dedicated preservationist of local history, was presented with the award during Wednesday's Canby City Council meeting at City Hall. Council President Tracy Hensley presented Palmer with the Hometown Hero Award in recognition of her outstanding community leadership, as demonstrated by countless hours volunteering and helping fellow community members. Palmer was a long-serving member and chair of the city's Heritage and Landmark Commission, as well as the Canby Library Board. Canby Economic Development Director Jamie Stickle kicked off the recognition Wednesday night. Stickle has spent nearly a decade working on various projects with Palmer, with whom she said she formed an unlikely team. She became emotional, describing one of her favorite memories, introducing Palmer at the dedication of Canby's Women Heritage Trail in 2018, the first trail in the state to be dedicated entirely to the efforts of women. The event was keynoted by former Governor Barbara Roberts, the first woman to serve in Oregon's highest office, but that wasn't the highlight for Stickle. When I look back on that day, my thoughts don't go to Governor Barbara Roberts or being part of a project that was the first in the state, but being able to introduce Carol Palmer, she said. I used the quote, "Here's to strong women. May we know them, may we be them, may we raise them." So thank you for letting me be a part of a wonderful night to honor someone who was a strong woman in my life. Judy Jaroche, one of Palmer's proteges and successors as chair of the HLC, spoke of the many things that are visible around town that Carol has led or pushed through. Jaroche called Palmer an ambassador for Canby and single-handedly responsible for tens of thousands of dollars in grant funds being funneled into the community for various heritage, cultural, and preservation projects over the years. Prior to being involved in the Heritage and Landmark Commission, I have never even seen a grant application, Jaroche said, but Carol taught me how to write them and then guided me along the way. For her part, Palmer gave credit to city staff members, past and present, and fellow volunteers of the HLC, including Kelly Harms, Jennifer Giller, and Tony Crawford. It's incredible and actually sort of wonderful to get an award for something that you really love doing, she said with a laugh. It's like chocolate on chocolate. It really has been my pleasure to do all of this. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. Though the last snap was months ago, the Canby Cougar football team continues to rack up awards from their impressive 2021 campaign. On top of their best on-field results since 2013, it was announced Thursday that Canby was a finalist for the inaugural NFF, National High School Academic Excellence Award. The award, presented by the National Football Foundation and the College Hall of Fame, is a new initiative that is designed to inspire and foster a culture of academic excellence on high school football teams throughout the nation, per NFF. In order to be eligible for the award, Teams needed to sustain a minimum cumulative team GPA of 3.0, as well as embark on a successful football season. The Cougars finished the regular season with a 7-2 mark and advanced to the quarterfinals of the 5A tournament bracket. Academically, Canby finished an impressive second overall in the OSSA Football Academic Top 10 for the second consecutive year, with an overall GPA of 3.45 among the Cougars' 55 varsity players. Cougar head coach Jimmy Joyce caught up with the current after hearing the news. "Nothing about school has been easy since COVID arrived," Joyce said. "I am just so proud of the leadership our players have shown, not just in the field, but in the classroom." Among the 62 finalists chosen nationwide for the award, Canby is one of five Oregon schools to qualify. The Cougars will represent the 5A class, while Summit, 6A, Warrenton, 3A, Monroe, 2A, and Cross Point Christian, 1A, will round out the rest of the Oregon-selected schools. The winner of the award will be selected on February 9th. The Oregon Tech women's soccer team enjoyed its most successful campaign in school history last year, advancing to the NAIA semifinals and finishing number 4 in the season-ending coaches poll, and two former Canby Cougars were right in the middle of it. Canby High School grads and former Cougar soccer stars Kyra Mall and Haley Adair were key cogs in the Owls' historic campaign, in which they capped a 14-2 regular season and an 11-1 conference mark by winning the Cascade Collegiate Conference postseason tournament. While the sophomore Adair served mostly as a backup goalie for the team, playing in one game, the senior Mall started all 24 games as a midfielder. Mall, who used her COVID redshirt year to come back for an additional season, was the only fifth-year senior to return for the Owls. "I was excited to come back and play one more time, but it was a little bittersweet since none of the other girls in my class stayed," said Mull. "But I'm really grateful that I stayed, though, and I'm so proud we went as far as we did." The Owls would advance past Spring Arbor University before falling in the semifinals to eventual champion Tennessee Southern 1-4. Both girls described the year as an unforgettable one. Mull may have graduated from Tech after the historic season, but Adair will remain behind as the lone Canby player still on the squad. She said that her time at Canby helped prepare her for the things to come. "The things from Canby I learned that helped in college were more than soccer," said Adair. "I learned how important communication, being timely, and team cohesion is. I think everything in high school correlates in one way or another, just at a higher level or more intense." Oregon Tech's soccer season will kick off in the fall.
Okay, Tyler, I need to tell you about the latest giveaway from DirectLink.
Okay.
So I know you're not the biggest sports guy.
Not at all.
But let me paint you a little picture. Portland versus Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs. 10 seconds left, all tied up with the series on the line. Damian Lillard is at half court, Paul George in his face. Dame, cool as ice, lets the clock drain down to nothing, then launches this ridiculous bomb from the logo. Nothing but net. And the crowd goes insane. Here, check this out.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
Okay, I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine being there?
I know, right? Well, thanks to our friends at DirectLink, Canby's local reliable internet provider, you can.
I can? Yes!
Well, no, actually, you can't. But one of our listeners can.
Oh, well, okay.
That's because we're giving away 2 100-level tickets to the Blazers versus San Antonio on March 23rd.
Wait, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds so cool. Level 100 seats?
That's right. Only a dozen rows back from the court. This ticket giveaway is exclusively for our podcast listeners and readers, and you can enter to win right now at directlink.coop/canbycurrent. The giveaway will end on March 2nd, and the winner will be randomly chosen that day.
Okay, but I do have one serious question.
Okay.
Can I seriously not enter to win these tickets?
Okay, well, Tyler, all the rules are on the website. Just visit directlink.coop/canbycurrent, and good luck, everybody.
Series. Damian Lillard for 50 points. Good night.
It's back. Hosted by the Canby Rotary Club, Canby's inaugural Daddy-Daughter Dance was one of the first local events to be postponed due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Now, 2 years later, the need for parents, kids, families, and the community to come together, reconnect, and have a little fun is greater than ever. Here's Canby Rotary President and event organizer Ray Keene.
So the Daddy-Daughter Dance is really just coming online at, I think, a really important time for the relationships that are really core in our community. When you think about opportunities to come together with a father and a daughter to connect, or other meaningful relationships, we're really open to all coming. So, you know, when those relationships are kind of when they've been hammered the way that the last couple of years have, you know, really impacted all of our relationships, I think it's really an important time for dads and daughters to be able to get together and do something that's really special.
So join us for an evening of fun, food, magic, music, and of course, dancing from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, March 12th at the Ackerman Center in Canby. The night will include a chocolate fountain, refreshments, arts and crafts, a photo booth, a live magic show, and other surprises that are sure to amaze and delight the little princess in your life. Tickets are $30 per couple and $10 for every additional child, with all proceeds supporting the work of Canby Rotary and its charitable efforts in our community. All are welcome at this fun, friendly, and inclusive event. For tickets or more information, visit canbyrotary.com. All right, for the Canby conversation today, we're so excited to be back at one of our favorite places on earth, definitely in the Canby area, at TMK Creamery outside of Canby on Dryland Road with Todd and Tessa Cook. Hey guys, how are you?
How's it going, Tyler? Good to see you back.
The weather is just gorgeous. Thank you guys for doing that for us. Yeah. That was kind of you.
Call up the sunshine any day.
Absolutely. So how have things been going? How are things out here at TMK?
Fantastic. We've been you know, just moving along. I mean, the COVID thing obviously adds some challenges here.
How did that impact you guys?
Oh, I think it was great. I mean, because we have a lot of outdoor space, so it's like it's a good place for people to be outside and still see something new and exciting and different. So
yeah. The cows didn't complain too much about having to wear the masks or anything like that.
No, they're pretty flexible.
Okay, good.
They're good girls.
6 feet separation was a struggle for some of them, but yeah.
Yeah. Because you guys are such a kind of everything in-house operation, some of the supply chain issues and things that have been affecting other businesses, has that not impacted you guys?
No, not really. I mean, the new thing, I think from the last time you guys were out here, we started our food truck.
Right.
You know, and with the food truck, we kind of wanted to just showcase our dairy products, you know, the cheese and then also
the menu. Everything's cheese.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese.
Yes. Yeah.
Cheeseburger.
Everything comes with cheese. And then also our all Angus beef product lineup. Mm. So where we'd have the cheeseburger and the all beef hot dog and stuff like that. So that's kind of the new thing that I think's been taking up a lot of our time. But it also gives a new experience where people can see some different things and experience the food in a different way too. So.
Yeah. One thing that I always appreciate and love about you guys is the emphasis on education and kind of showing that whole process. Can you tell me a little bit about kind of that philosophy, why that's important to you?
Yeah, sure. We continue to do our free tours for all youth. And we did establish one tour where you do have to pay for. That's called Milking with Mark. It's usually on Friday nights. And it's been very successful, but the whole idea, the whole hubris behind why we do these tours and mostly free is because we want folks to be exposed to things that not necessarily you've ever been exposed to. Infrastructure, land base, it's all expensive. And if TMK can offer that just for the simple exposure or for 4-H and FFAers who want a heifer to show, we offer that for free as well. It's just an opportunity that a lot of youth may not get in a regular situation because of the expense it takes to have a farm. And so we certainly would like to expose kids to that. The other section to that would be exposure to food science, exposure to, it's not just farming when you have a food manufacturing plant on your farm as well, and soon to be a beverage manufacturing plant, the distillery. There's a lot of science that goes to that, and understanding that farming is a lot of education, especially if you're going to go vertical with everything you make. So we grow everything, we grow the food for everything, and then we manufacture all the product that you're buying here. Yeah. And to get that in one full circle in a 30-acre farm is rare. Yeah. And so if we can offer that to the youth to see what, to be exposed to that, it's exactly why we designed TMK the way we designed it.
Yeah, yeah. And do you feel like that's really important to kind of the quality and what that end product to be able to control those different aspects?
Very, very good point. Yeah, certainly. I mean, whenever you grow your own food, if it's for personal or commercial use, you certainly want quality because there's a lot of pride that goes behind that. Yeah. There's a lot of weather exposure, challenges you didn't see coming when you actually create a product or food. You're very proud that it's come to fruition. And so with our closed circle, we're growing the food for the animal, and then we have full control over that animal's environment, making her as comfortable as possible. And then we have full control over the manufacturing of that raw ingredient into products. So certainly quality is a high priority of what we're doing around here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Todd, was talking to your younger brother, Mark, dairy manager out here, and he was kind of telling the story of TMK, and he described it as a 4-H project all grown up. He might have used the word blown up. But can you tell folks what he meant by that and kind of the story of how...
Well, yeah, so TMK started as my 4-H project that when I was 12 years old, I went and bought a 4-H heifer that was a month old.
Just playing video games when I was coding. Yeah. Like.
And so then I was supposed to sell her before she started milking,
Oh, you got attached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just never did. And so currently we have Cal Liberties in the herd that are 8th and 9th generations from that original heifer that I bought when I was 12 years old. Wow. So I mean that part's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to be able to share that with people. And you know, touching back on the youth and the stuff like that that come out. You know, to both Tessa and I started this whole thing. We started with 4-H roots, you know, and doing youth projects and youth activities with animals, and we want to be able to give that opportunity back to the young people. We think it's important to inspire young people to come, you know, especially for us in the dairy business, because we want talented youth to come back and give back, or you know, and work in these industries, you know, and make better products for the consumer. So I mean, it's important to inspire youth and to get real talent in the real talented youth to come back to farming.
You spend a lot of time around cows.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in talking with people that are so expert in different things that I have so little experience in. Are there things that you've learned either from working with cows or just doing farming that maybe lessons or just things that you've kind of learned that are maybe more broadly applicable to different aspects of life?
Well, that's a crazy question. I guess I've never had that one before. I don't know. I think the real thing with my experience as cows is true patience.
Yeah.
You have to have, you have to be able to be patient with the animal. You have to, you know, for us, we want them to live their best life.
Yeah.
So, and part of that is, you know, being patient and actually maybe just taking a step back and seeing what really they want to do.
Yeah.
And not being, you know, so forceful and being like, hey, this is what we want you to do.
Yeah.
Let her just dictate what she wants to do and she'll live her best life. So, you know, the cows have always been kind of the hero of our story. That's why we call them Cow Liberties.
Yeah.
We want them to kind of get the real credit of what happens out here.
Yeah.
And without them, you know, we don't make products.
Right.
So, I mean, they need to live their best life. And they're an incredible animal. I mean, you think of a dairy cow that makes 140 pounds of milk a day. You know, that's remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they're an incredible animal, and we like to try and celebrate them that way.
Yeah. They're intelligent, yeah? They all have their names on the tags, and there was one, Cammy, that was just, I don't want to offend them, but hamming it up. I don't beefing it up.
Yes, yes.
I was taking pictures, and she was just right on the camera, just loving it. But every time I said Cammy, her ears perked up like she knew her name. I don't know if I was just putting that on her or...
Well, yeah. I mean, so part of the, you know, we're with the cows every day. So, yeah. I mean, they have some touch. Cammy's actually a unique, one of the unique situations because she actually was a young person's 4-H project.
Oh, okay.
So she had a handler of Garrett that basically raised her, but when, you know, from when she was a month old and took her to the 4-H shows and everything else. So, yeah, so she got spoiled probably maybe even more than some of the other ones. So she definitely understood her name, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Well, one thing that we wanted to ask you guys about is a new aspect that's coming online, I think later this year, mm-hmm. April-ish you're looking at,
exactly.
Is a distillery, right? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so with the cowcahol came the opportunity to actually ferment and distill that on farm. So then it'd be the only farmstead waste spirit distillery.
So it's vodka made out of...
Out of whey,
which is a byproduct of cheese.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
okay.
Essentially, you're making booze out of milk.
Okay.
You're breaking it down and upcycling the waste product into booze.
Yeah. Which is great because then you can just add the Nesquik right into the vodka.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's nutritious. Yeah. 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 Just tell people, oh, this is just my milk I'm drinking. Yeah. So.
It's
very healthy.
Yeah, it is. Get your dairy whole other way. We found that having it off farm, you just don't have that ability to create.
Okay.
As well. And so we like to do things
again,
that...
Again, you wanted to control...
Yeah, control the quality, control the production, you know, just know when the product would be being produced and how much, that kind of thing. So we decided to put a distillery and brewery here. So with the brewery, it's the spent grain can actually be fed back to the Calebrities.
Oh, cool.
So that's the full food cycle on that. But the distillery is then upcycling the whey, which is typically a waste product, especially for creameries that are as small as ours.
Yeah.
And put it back into a consumable product, which is cowcahol.
Where did this idea even come from?
I think one of the, just following up with Tessa again, one of the really cool things about having it here on site is that it's a lot easier to connect the cows and the animals, you know, that are responsible for making the milk sugars that you're fermenting and distilling, you know, into the whey spirits. So, you know, that it makes it way easier to connect those two together.
Yeah.
And we thought that was important, really important, when people came out to see that whole process, because it will be a cool process to watch. I mean, it's kind of mesmerizing watching the still work, and then also watching, you know, the cows walk around right behind it.
I have tasted it, but I don't have the palate to really speak to this, but is the vodka sort of different than your more traditional that are made out of potatoes, I think, and corn and stuff like that, grains?
Yeah, there's a lot of uniqueness to it. I mean, vodkas can be distilled down to, you know, completely neutral, where you're not really tasting much of anything. What we try and do is maintain some of that raw ingredient that you're putting, you know, that you're starting with.
So it does have some distinction.
So it does have like it's a real smooth vodka. It has a kind of almost a caramely finish or a vanilla finish to the end of it. So it's got a very unique profile to it. Certainly very different than any of your potatoes and stuff like that.
And what have you heard from customers and visitors about this aspect? It probably surprises a lot of people.
Yeah.
Wait, you're doing
no,
what
it's,
now?
Yeah, it's a good conversation starter. That's for sure.
I mean, like, sure, you raise cows. Of course you do cheese. Of course you do ice cream. Oh, vodka.
Yeah. Where did that one come from? Yeah. No, it certainly is. And, you know, TMK always wants to do products that have never been done before. Mm. We've done the single cow cheese. We do the single cow cheese.
Yeah.
And now it's the cowcahol. We want to grow that product line. The grand opening is scheduled for April, and we're hoping to have a gin as well coming from the whey. So we're trying to increase the awareness of you can take essentially a byproduct, a product that's going to be thrown away, and still use it for something great.
Yeah.
And this is just one of the upcycling ideas that we have. We are working on another one too, not with food, but it's just how Todd works, really. It's like, what else could we be doing? We're never going to slow down and be like, oh, creamery is enough, a distillery is enough. It's always something more that you could be doing with what's located on your farm, what's happening on your farm. So we want to be an example of there's always something better, cooler you could be doing with it, with the products you already have.
Yeah, absolutely. By law, are you allowed to use the cowcahol in anything other than a White Russian or a mudslide?
Yes.
Okay.
But those are
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good, I bet.
Yeah, the cow call definitely gives, and it also it gives the Cal Liberties a new little feather in their hats as a new product that they're able to provide to the end consumer, and I think people appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. You guys do such an awesome job with your web presence and your social media. I know, Tessa, you're a big part of that. You want to share where folks can find out more and maybe learn when these details come together for the distillery?
Yeah, absolutely. On social media channels, Facebook and Instagram, you can follow us at TMK Creamery. Our website is tmkcreamery.com, where you can buy tickets for Milking with Mark, which you get a behind-the-scenes look at everything that happens here on the farm and with the Cal Liberties. Yeah, and we will be posting. We're actually going to be starting a new channel, TMK Distillery, in a few weeks before we open in April. So be looking for that too. And, you know, our free events are always going to be happening here throughout the year. Our Farm to Fork dinners will be happening here. So, yeah, just stay connected with us on social media and you'll hear all about it.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Todd, Tessa, thank you guys so much. Anything else that you'd like to share?
I think we're good. Yeah. Appreciate it, Tyler.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for taking the time. So, Tyler, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Got any big plans with the missus?
Oh, you know it.
That's what I thought. A little candlelight, nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. Check and check.
Romantic music, champagne, and of course, books.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, man. Ladies love books, and books are a great gift that show you value and appreciate everything about that special someone in your life, including their mind.
Okay, I'm with you. One problem, though. What if I don't know what book she would like?
Not to worry, my friend. The Book Nook on North Grant Street in downtown Canby has you covered with their Blind Date with a Book promotion. You just pick out the genre and they take care of the rest, sending you home with your choice of a new or used pre-wrapped hardcover or paperback gem that she or he or they are sure to love.
That does sound pretty cool and romantic.
Yep. Plus, Book Nook has a fantastic selection of chocolate, candy, cards, and other gifts for all of your Valentine's needs.
And that's not all. If you're in need of a special outing on Valentine's week, look no further than Trivia Night at Wayward Sandwiches Thursday, February 17th. They're partnering with the Book Nook for an evening of romantic literature-themed trivia. Awesome bookish prizes and lots of fun.
For all things books and more, check out The Book Nook, 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue, or visit them on Facebook, Instagram, and at booknookcanby.com. And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end-of-season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman Team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing and I've heard it's amazing. And I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
And finally, on this episode of the Canby Now podcast, we conclude with Canby Then, which is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily, you can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant in downtown Canby, or connect with them through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. If you're a longtime listener of our history series, you know the city was originally known as Baker Prairie, probably named after James Baker, one of the area's earliest pioneers. What you might not know is that Jim Baker was also one of the most colorful figures in the old frontier West. Also known as Big Jim and Honest Jim, he was a frontiersman, trapper, hunter, fur trader, explorer, army scout, interpreter, soldier, territorial militia officer, rancher, mine owner, tollkeeper, and a mountain man who married not just one Native American bride, but perhaps as many as 20. Eat your hearts out, sister wives. He was born in Belleville, Illinois in 1808, though there were contemporary sources, however, that stated how Baker himself was not quite sure of his exact birth date or whether it was in the year 1808 or 1809. However, his childhood was documented, with his parents describing themselves as poor. Baker was one of many children in the family, and from an early age he excelled in fishing, and he also hunted squirrels, muskrats, and other small game using a gun. When he was 17, his father sent him to his grandfather in St. Louis for his education, but he was sent home after showing little interest in the instruction. During this journey, he met a capper who told him tales of adventure on the frontier. The young Baker needed no other encouragement. He went promptly to the offices of the American Fur Company and joined his first trapping expedition. It was as a fur trapper that he met the legendary Jim Bridger and Kit Carson, two larger-than-life figures who, sadly, never lived in Canby. But Big Jim Baker did. He settled here in the early 1830s and operated a huge ranch and farm on the rich lands that now form North Canby. He stayed until at least 1838, but the date that he left the area isn't known for sure. The records aren't exactly ironclad. What is certain is that Baker eventually tired of farming and left, selling his interest in the farm business to a man named W.C. Dement. He joined up with a large party headed for the annual trapper rendezvous in the Wyoming mountains, and from then on he would have had many adventures and exploits in the fur business. On May 25, 1839, he traveled up the Missouri to Kansas City on a steamer known as the St. Peter, eventually traveling to Grand Island on the Platte River, reaching the Laramie Plains. They continued down the Medicine Bow and Laramie Rivers to the Sweetwater River, crossing South Pass to arrive at Fort Bonneville. For at least a couple of years, Baker hunted and trapped in the Wind River Mountains with the legendary mountain man Jim Bridger. When spring broke in 1840, he returned home to Illinois. But by the following, Baker had set out again on his second journey to the Rocky Mountains, traveling back across the Laramie Plains, over South Pass, down the Green River, to Bridger's camp at the Henry's Fork. Bridger, who was worried about his associate Henry Frabe, sent Baker and others to search for the lost party, who had been trapping at the base of the Squaw Mountain on the banks of the Little Snake River. In August 1841, Baker was involved in a violent clash at the junction of Battle Creek and the Snake River, when Baker's group of 35 trappers encountered a group of Sioux, Cheyenne, and Arapaho warriors. Frabe died early on in the fight, leaving Baker to take charge. This battle led to the Bastion Mountain being renamed Battle Mountain. After the warriors retreated on August 27th, the trappers departed from Battle Mountain and returned to Bridger's camp. Baker would go on to become a highly regarded U.S. Army scout and Indian interpreter for Generals John C. Fremont, William S. Harney, Albert Sidney Johnston, and George Armstrong Custer, thanks to his fluency in the Shoshone language and the use of the Arapaho Sign Language, as well as his knowledge of the rivers, trails, and mountains, all of which he'd picked up in the fur trade. In 1859, Baker took up a homestead near Denver, 3 miles north on Clear Creek. In 1864, he built an adobe brick building at what is now 53rd and Tennyson Streets, just west of the campus of Regis University. He built a toll bridge and owned the first coal mine in Colorado, where Riss is now, 18 miles west of Denver. In the same year, Baker was appointed a captain of the Colorado Militia along with John Chivington, who later led the Colorado Territorial Forces in the infamous Sand Creek Massacre.
He would eventually ramble his way to a ranch near Savory, Wyoming, where he built a cabin from cottonwood trees with his three daughters, Isabel, Madeline, and Jenny. It was there that he became a beloved member of the community and picked up the nickname Honest Jim. His cabin had three stories. On the top one was built a watchtower, but as the likelihood of conflict with Native Americans had been greatly reduced, the third floor was eventually taken down. But conflict would still find him, as it turned out. Baker was an old man in 1875 when he was asked to serve under General Custer as a scout during the Battle of Rosebud in the Black Hills. In 1881, he was asked to scout in another battle, the Meeker Massacre, led by General Thornburg. On May 15, 1898, Baker died in his cabin on Carbon County, Wyoming. His body was buried in a small cemetery overlooking the Little Snake River Valley. A few years later, the Baker cabin was removed from Savory and taken to Frontier Park in Cheyenne, Wyoming. But in July 1976, the home of Jim Baker was returned to Savory, where it was incorporated into the Little Snake River Museum. The cabin was reconstructed under the direction of Jim Baker's great-grandson, Paul McAllister, who still lives in Dixon, Wyoming. And that does it for this episode of the Can Be Now podcast. I'm James Walton. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432. Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.